It is my job. It is my job to protect you, but it is also my job to tell you the way I'm going to behave.
Welcome to the Circuit Magazine, the number one source of information on protection matters, the industry-leading magazine for all security professionals who want to stay ahead of the game.
Educating the principal. Today, Elijah Shaw and myself are delighted to be speaking with Hector Robles, all the way from Mexico, a second time participant on the podcast. Elijah, what are you looking forward to about today's session?
I'm looking forward to today's conversation. I think Hector is an individual who's extremely passionate about things that he talks about. He's articulate about them, and he has a distinct point of view. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to say.
But then with educating the principal, is that a good idea? How are they going to take it?
I think that's a process. So you can't change everything overnight. Instead, it's a gradual process. And part of that comes with trust. So as they warm up to you, as they become more receptive to your ideas, as they start seeing you as a subject matter expert, I think that leads to it. So the education is one piece, but establishing that rapport, whether that's the security office, the detail leader, all the way down to the person providing close protection, establishing that rapport is vital, because that's the only way you're going to get the educational component where we can transfer that knowledge and those things we're trying to get across to the client. As far as will it be successful in terms of our efforts in educating the client, only time will tell for that. And I think it's specific to each individual client. So for instance, I've had a client that is actually, and it's a longstanding relationship, but they wanted me to educate them. They wanted me to take their younger children and educate them, and then revisit that as they grew older, because the things you're going to do and say to a teenager is different than what you're going to do and say to a young adult. And so that was a process that I had to buy in on of the client. But again, they looked at me as a subject matter expert, as opposed to someone who just got hired on a detail. They're unsure of who I am, what my area of expertise is, and all of a sudden I come and I start changing things or demanding things.
So who then should we focus this education on? Surely it's not just the principal. What about the outer office?
As far as the focus on the outer office, I think that we as protectors should be making sure that we're thinking about security as all-encompassing. So that means that if we need to integrate with the family office or integrate with the security management office that is in place, I think it's vital, because you want to have that transfer of information. You want to have that operational ventriloquism, as my friend Mark 6 James likes to say. So you want to be on the same page. Now, of course, we all have different roles and responsibilities, but everybody has to have that buy-in, including the protectee.
Okay, well, let's get into it with Hector Robles, second time on the podcast, with Educating the Principal.
And now, let's meet one of the contributors to the Circuit magazine.
Educating the principal. Today, for the Circuit Magazine podcast, we're delighted to welcome back Hector Robles, President LATAM, VP Global Operations at First Call CSS. How are you, Hector?
Very well, Phelan. Very, very well. Thank you very much for having me in your podcast, very famous podcast. I'm honored. I listen to it very much. I'm a fan, you know, and it's an honor for me to be here again and try to discuss something that has been, you know, in my head for a few weeks now.
And I think it's a very valuable topic for the community. Now, contrast this. Your last session, we focused on operations in Mexico, which is great, and you're still, you know, the fountain of knowledge for that. But what are we trying to solve? What problem are we trying to solve when we talk about educating the principal?
Well, you know, the problem that we're trying to solve is what I call this, or for me, what is this gap between understanding security and the role of somebody who's going to protect you. I see, I don't know, I've been only 9 years in this industry, like in the EP industry, or but I've been in the security industry for 25 years, and I have not heard myself, I'm talking about me, I have never heard of somebody talking about a proper training in EP to executives. And I'm not talking about, telling them how to do, perform an advanced work or different things like our like or counter surveillance, but at least that conventional knowledge of understanding what is what your EP agent knows and why they behave this way, and how these executives should behave in crisis or incident situations. And you have this situation of, that's executives have a different role. Executives have a different responsibilities, and they should focus on core business situations. But we are as risk managers tend to diminish this situation, I guess. And we are part of the crisis management of that client. We don't sell EP services. We sell business continuity. And that's the way we should see it. Because executives have a proper training probably on business, an MBA or a master or a master's in finance, or they have grown in this industry or their industry as being, the leaders and of in their industry in pharma or automotive or whatever it is. But they need these services. I mean, they are provided, they have this possibility of being protected by their companies. And I think they don't know exactly what this situation is. Maybe they are users of this, but I have never heard of executive, to tell me, I have never heard them discuss what they do if there's an incident in a restaurant. Do they go, underneath the table? Do they run to the, what is the communication with their agent, the one who's protecting them? They take things for granted. And I think this is a communication that should happen. This should, and it is not about a security awareness brief that they give them or travel risk management when they go to Mexico or when they go to, I don't know, to Morocco or when they go to certain areas in the world, just to mention a few. But do they have this training when they are, when they become expats? Are their families trained in what their EP agents or EP detail is going to do and the do's and don'ts? Because that's why sometimes they send them to the supermarket for grocery shopping or to wash the car. And I'm not against having the agents washing the car. Sometimes you have to do it because you have to know your tools. The car is one of your main tools in EP services. So maybe washing the car once a month gives you a very good perspective of the maintenance that your car or your vehicle should have. But to walking the dog, what is at risk in this situation? And I think it's sometimes I call it the missing link or the weakest link, because they become, when there's an incident, executives become a deadlift, because you have to carry them.
They're not going to enjoy getting a hardcover provided to them. They may push back. In panels and events gone by, people said, "Well, what if your principal is elderly or with some type of Alzheimer's? If you grab them by the scruff of their neck and shove them down for any reason, they may fight you." But I think it's bigger than that. They may fight you anyway. They may push back. So
Well,
they need an appreciation of why you're doing what you're doing.
they may fight you because they don't know what you're doing. They don't know what is happening. And if there's a communication of, you are in this country, things like this happen in this country, in restaurants here, there, and there. So the EP agent may communicate with you in a certain way that you have to be ready, or you have to be aware. And this is not only about situational awareness. It is, but it's not just about that. It's just about the prevention, preventing something, and knowing why your EP agent is going to behave in a way, and why maybe he's going to grab you by the neck and do something. And maybe we would avoid such thing, because maybe the EP agent can text you, or just come close to you and tell you, why don't you go to the to I'm looking at something that is a bit suspicious. Why don't you say, please excuse me, I'm going to use the restroom, or I'm going to use the toilet, and then I extract you. So there's this communication, and I think it's normal. And I don't know if big corporations should change their corporate security policies, because maybe that's one way. Because they always say, like, well, executives focus on core responsibilities of the business: marketing, strategic decisions, leading the organization. But rather than focusing on specialized security training, but when something bad happens, who's to blame? The EP agent, the company that didn't do this or didn't do that. But I'm not saying that you're going to pass on the responsibility to them. It's not about that. But at least they can help you. They can participate on how to, be aware of things and accept them beforehand. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. As an executive of one of those companies that I work for, which were like Fortune 500 corporations, I have the privilege of being a user of executive protection because of the position I had in the company, not because of my name, not because my name was Hector Robles. Maybe if I'm Bill Gates, or if I'm Mark Zuckerberg, that's because of my name, and also because of the position I had in the company. But in my case, in 3 years, they changed. I was there for 3 years, then I moved up in the organization, and there was another guy who was, in my position and also got the privilege of being protected by the company. But it's because of the title you have, not because who you are. And then because of that, you have to accept the, just like the president of a country, because of the position you have, there are rules that you should not question. It is what it is. We are not protecting you. We're protecting a position that, if something happens to you, is going to affect the credibility of the company. It's going to affect different. It could affect the value of your stock in of the value of your shares in the stock market. It could have, huge implications, and you should cooperate.
So when we're talking about educating the principal, do you think we should differentiate between someone, an executive in a corporation versus a high net worth individual that might hire for themselves? Because, within a family office structure, things can be sometimes quite whimsical. So I wonder if the education should kind of adapt or the approach should change. What do you think?
I think that the approach can be different, because there are different threats, different vulnerabilities, and there's a difference in probably risk. But the training should happen. Maybe it's just different, the type of information that they're going to give you, more in depth. For the same reasons that people do not want to provide executive or training to executives, those are the reasons why they should be trained. Like, to focus on your core responsibilities, to delegate. I think it's irresponsible to delegate the security and protection just to dedicated professionals. You should at least be aware of what they do and what their job is, for you not to complain and to cooperate, and just to have that top information, that maybe hardcore conversation inside the car that the EP agent is going to give you. Probably it's in the car. It's a 5 minute talk, but you should be aware of the risk and mitigation, the time, because you say, like, well, executives have time constraints. What is 0.1% of their time? 4 hours, 5 or 6 or 4 or 12 hours a year just in training. It's nothing. It's really nothing, and it could make a huge difference, because then they are aware and they may appreciate and understand what the agent is doing, because there's who's to blame, as I said before. It's always them. But they never we don't discuss what the we discuss very little what the principal does, to provoke. Sometimes they provoke those situations, because they say, like, well, it's your job to protect me. I'm going running, I'm going cycling, and I don't care, and I'm gonna do it. And they don't care. And I say, like, you should care, because you are paid by this company. You don't owe the company. Maybe with high net worth individuals who pay for their own detail, they may say, well, you do what I want you to do, and you can refuse to do that as well, especially if you're a contractor. You say, because then the name of my company, the reputation of my company is going to be affected if because of your indiscipline, something happens. And then that's the risk mitigation also for the subcontractor. Very few do it, but also there are legal issues. There are legal issues that should be taken into account. But that's why I think training should happen, because training happens. You give training, defensive driving training to executives. Okay. You have crisis management workshops and tabletops. I mean, executives have that kind of training.
They do
They
do
have BC,
tabletops, yeah.
they do tabletops or workshops, and they have, at least in the company where I work, we review the BCP, the business continuity plan, every year. We do that, and we modify it, or we decide just to keep it the same, just to analyze if the BCP is covering all the risk year by year. And BC, I mean, that they receive that training. Why not executive protection? Why not just as executive protection awareness training for their families, just to avoid certain things? It's not that they're going to be experts, or they're going to conduct an advanced work or counter surveillance, or any other things. It's just as you say, educating them, giving them this possibility of understanding what the agent is going to do for you and why they do it. And if they tell you we should leave now, maybe it's because of a reason, not just because, I think something's going to happen. Of course, there's intelligence. There's a lot of things and techniques and communication skills that should be, and also emergency response. I mean, that's why I think it's a combination of duty of care and executive protection. But it all boils down to the corporate security policies in those large corporations. Just receive that kind of help.
Because there are some courses that seem to be out there, but in my estimation, they focus on KNR and other things that I think on our pre-call you said were left of bang or right of bang. Wait, which one? Right of bang.
Right about, sir,
Yeah,
right about.
right of bang, right? So do you think the gap in the market is actually left of boom training? Because otherwise you're giving them rather miserable KNR training, which could maybe put them off going places in the first place. Do you think the gap in the market is more left of boom?
I think there's the left the gap or the weak. I don't think there's a, there, I don't think there's a real a gap, but there's a weak point where we focus more on right of band or boom, and we should do more to provide information to our users, or to our internal clients. And that's what we should do. I mean, as I said, you give them awareness trainings on, travel risk management. You have intelligence, do's and don'ts. The real thing of what to do in a crisis situation, just like the way they do in a crisis management tabletop or a BCP simulation, it should be the same for executive protection. I've been to many tabletops, and it's always kidnapping or some sort of image problem of the, you know, reputation problem, or your manufacturing plant has a leak of a very dangerous chemical, but there's nothing about in also kidnappings. But what about an incident where your executive is involved with in a situation in a different place, in a restaurant or in a building, or where the executive protection team really works, really goes there and helps you to extract you, like an extraction. What to do there? What to do there? And it's just talk. Maybe as I said, the probability could be 1%, 0.1%. Well, why don't you give the same amount of time to that? Why don't you give those two paragraphs to your policy? Help us help you, as Jerry Maguire said in one of the in that beautiful film that I like. But because I think it's unfair to just blame everything on the EPA agent or the provider, when the EP where the when the top executive behaves in a very unethical or improper way. I mean, they say, "Well, you're here to protect me." Yes, I'm here to protect you, but I'm not obliged to the impossible. And if you do not cooperate, what do I do? We had it in many instances where we were protecting different people who love to, you know, drive very fast in their cars. What do we do? Do we chase them at 200 kilometers an hour in a motorway, in a highway, or should just limit our responsibility to the speed limit? What do we do? This guy wants to kill himself. Why should I get killed? Just because you pay me?
It's a, but how do you start the conversation? Because often the principal will not be the one booking you.
You know,
Do you just do it as an offhand comment, you know, hey principal, have you considered dot dot dot? How do our listeners start that conversation?
well, I think the way to start is to have it from the at the corporate level, and it's a combination of talking to the direct, you know, security director or the person in charge of EP or the CSOs, and tell them, why don't we try this once? And just beforehand, I mean, why don't we try to talk to them, to the executives, you as a director of security or EP director, and us? Why don't you gather them for 1 hour and we just tell them, this is what executive protection is. This is in the because it is in the corporate security policy, and because you're traveling to certain areas, and because of our risk map says that this is an orange, this is an orange, so you should have this kind of protection. You should be aware of all this, and maybe at a certain point, the EP agent in the car is going to talk to you and is going to tell you, I'm going to be in this part of the restaurant, I'm going to be outside, or I'm going to be inside sitting next to you in a different table. Don't worry. If I look at you, maybe check your phone, or if I just come close to you and tell you something, or if you see me standing up and going and walking to the door, maybe that's a sign. Just giving them these little things that you should be aware of. The possibility of that happen, maybe it doesn't happen, but here what we're talking about is having the principal or the executives know what your protector is gonna be doing. So you're aware of, and you're not a dead leaf. You're not a burden to them, because if they have to carry you, well, at least they run with you. At least they run with you, and they understand your commands, because at that point, the EP agent is the one in command. You should do what I have to do, because otherwise I'm going to pull you from your hair or neck or whatever, and we're leaving this place. And like that, we may avoid different things, and this little percentage or probability could save your life too.
So
Maybe
what?
they avoid it because, sorry, maybe they avoid this kind of conversation because, oh, I don't want to bother the executive. I don't want to stress him because he's very important. He's going to make $100 billion decisions. Well, this is your life too, and you're going to affect your family. So I think you're obliged to have that conversation.
Yeah, but I guess the conversation, one thing, but if let's say we are trying to formalize it in terms of education, What does it look like? I mean, do we train them a little bit on frack? Do we train them a little bit on personal cyber hygiene? Do we train them on awareness of what protectors do? Like, what would this education look like? And
Well,
maybe what modules, what topics?
I can tell you a few. I mean, understanding what threat assessment is, because sometimes they feel like, oh, you're only telling me bad things and you're selling dangerous situations, so I'm aware and I pay for this service. Just understand what the threat assessment is. Half an hour. You have situational awareness. Teaching them how not to be a soft target, to remain vigilant and observant of their surroundings. That helps you. And those kind of trainings happen. Or you sell you I mean, cybersecurity for final users, situational awareness for final users, for families, driving, defensive driving is already there. Security measures, educating executives on security protocols, measures on different things, perimeter security, emergency procedures. Some of them do. I know that for a fact, because I had a relative of mine working for a top company. I don't want to mention that, but they actually trained them. And my uncle had to, every time we went to a hotel, he had to walk from his door to the closest elevator, to the closest emergency door, walking and crawling. Walking and crawling with their eyes open and with their eyes shut, so they could count the number of steps to there. They like, this is 3 forward and 25 to the right. They should count it. And if they're in case of a fire, they should always have towels very wet, so they can put it under, to block the gap. They have that training, but very few companies do that. Executives, and he had to do it. He had to do it. But as I said, security measures, personal protection techniques, well, like physical self-defense, it already happens. I'm not a very good fan of that, because that's, if you have to go to physical self-defense, you're already in trouble, in big problems. You're already in big problems. So we try to be, a few steps behind that, before that. But also communication skills. What is a teaching? What could be the good communication skills for your to communicate to with your EP, with your security detail? Emergency response. Do you have that kind of service? How do you use it? In which situations? At what time? Natural disasters, security breaches, medical incidents, technology and cybersecurity. It already happens, but there's no like such training like that. They just give it to you like, oh, well, take care of social networks, don't expose yourself. And it's very interesting, because when we, as in the company where I work, when we assess the vulnerabilities of an executive, whatever, they give you a lot of information on their, stock properties, belongings, valuables, and their way of living. But whenever you go inside those their social networks, they feel invaded. They feel that this is a privacy breach. They don't want to give you that. It's like it's a different person, a different personality, where they show their muscles or their stomachs because they're in the having a good time by the beach in the holidays with their family. They feel exposed, but that's a big threat as well, and they should have this training as well. Social psychological preparedness, which could be related to KNR, role playing situation. I mean, what is a role playing? And because in role playing, it's very common in tabletops, in crisis management tabletops. Those are the 10 things that I see as a training. To avoid predictability, to avoid human, or to minimize as much as possible human error, to minimize the possibility of social being trapped in a social engineering scam, to avoid having access, to avoid having somebody accessing your sensitive information, And sometimes they don't care that you say, well, but no one cares about me because I'm not that important. Guess what? You're very important. It's just that you cover it, you hide it.
So, all right, logistically, what could we kind of advise people to do to handle objections? Because I'm sure a family office or an HR department will come up and go, oh no, that's what you're here for. You know, common objections that you think people will face, and maybe how they could get around them. Maybe that would be useful.
You know, as I said, well, I need to focus. One objection could be that they should focus on their core responsibilities, and that is, and as I said, leading their organization and managing operations. And I don't have time for that. Well, I'm asking you just for 4 hours of your time, 4 hours of your time, every 6 months. 4 hours. Give me 4 hours of that. You're going to enjoy it because I'm going to show you videos. You're going to be watching a film. I'm going to tell you the mistakes and do's and don'ts and what we should avoid. And I'm going to give you different possibilities of not making the same mistakes based on our relationship between an EP provider or EP agent as a protector. Because last time we were in this restaurant or last time we went on this trip, we made these mistakes, you and I. Obviously, I'm there to protect you. I'm there to solve this crisis. And for you, it was transparent. You didn't even see it. But I need to tell you what happened because and why this happened. So, and also because they delegate security and protection to somebody else. Well, why not giving you the opportunity to just understanding my job, really what my job is, not in paper, but in real things when things happen, and you can still delegate that. But as I said, it's just 4 hours. Risk assessment and mitigations. Executives have no real formal or have no formal training in executive protection, but they are involved in the risk management because they are the source of risk. So why do we mitigate risk, or how do we mitigate risk? By talking to them, but not just, as I said, security in this place. This is what I'm going to be doing. This is the way I'm going to be behaving. Time constraints. I don't have time. You don't have time. Well, as I said again, if you are a high net worth individual, we can work with you. We can talk to you on half an hour a day. Give me half an hour a day, a briefing. Give me half an hour a day for 2 weeks. Just that. Or every Wednesday, you give me half an hour. And time constraints. Well, but if you're a top executive for whatever index, 500 or 1,000 company, guess what? You have this service because you belong to this. You are an employee of this company. You are not the owner, and your responsibility is to take this training. Because if you don't do that, and something happens to you, the corporation is going to suffer reputationally. Do they have a proper security program in that company? Is it going to affect the stock market, what you did because you didn't know? We have to take many considerations. That's why I say this needs to come from the top, from the top as a corporate security policy to avoid this kind of, I don't have time. Well, you should make time because this is important for the corporation who pays for your salary, by the way. By the way. So that's why you are obliged to take it. So, and also legal liability issues. Sometimes they are going to tell you, did you train the executive? Did she know what you were going to do because you pulled your hair to extract her? To carry her because you forgot, because when on the extraction, we had to leave the briefcase there or certain papers on top of the table. There are legal implications when, and this is something that it's interesting. Whenever I have a company or an executive asking for armed security, I always tell them, no problem. You can have your armed security. However, I need to see your or I need to know if in your insurance policy, arms an incident that involves armed security is covered. Is your corporation covered, insured, if something like this happened? Legally, do you understand the implications in the country where you are going to be, provided armed security? Do you understand the legal implications that you may not just leave the country in the next plane just because you were involved in an incident? Maybe you have to go to the police station and provide your statement. Probably you have to do that. Who's gonna do you Are you covered legally there? So armed security is not just a game of a Nintendo game. There are implications. Is your What if because of you there's collateral damage for some people were injured because of a bullet going someplace. What is going to happen? We need to have that kind of discussions before we engage in more or riskier security schemes. We need to have that kind of conversation. And I don't think we are avoid I think we are avoiding this because some corporations say, well, security people, you always exaggerate. You always exaggerate. You always tell me the bad things. Why don't you tell me the good things? I suffer so much. I'm a victim of my job because I have to make this and that decisions. Well, yeah, but you knew this kind of you knew you were I mean, you are the vice president of whatever corporation. You knew before you signed that contract, you knew what your responsibilities were. So, and this is part of your responsibility because there are thousands of families who depend on whatever you do. So you should take responsibility. And I think, but we can do it in a more amicable conversation, of course, and just tell them you have a lot to gain from this. You're gonna have fun. We can make it fun for them. It's not just the you're tied there, and with your black suit and black tie, and tell them this is this and that. No, you're not reading instructions. We can just make it very illustrative for them. Very, I think fun because there are a lot of information, video, and readings that can be important for them and can illustrate what we want to achieve with them. And as I said, it's 4 hours. It's just 4 hours. It's not more than that. I just want you to understand that. And your family, maybe not your kids, and you can explain that to your kids in a different way. Or maybe there are other people more specialized in talking to kids when it comes to security, for sure. But I think at the corporation level, we should have that discussion with them. Because also, I mean, over here in Mexico, we train assistants or secretaries. We train them on how to respond the phone to avoid extortion scams. I mean, or people trying to get to the CEO just to prank them to have a it's just a prank, and we've seen those examples of little guys going all the way to the office of the CEO or just
It
being
happened to our
connected
Prime
or
Minister. It happened to
It
our Prime
happened to
Minister
you
some years ago with a comedian.
with a comedian. Exactly. I mean, this is the kind of and could that be avoided? Of course, I think we could be avoided. And I just want to be fair to corporations, principals, but also to the EP agents, because it's not always their fault. They take the blame. Yes, sometimes they do. It was my job. It is my job. It is my job to protect you. But it is also my job to tell you the way I'm going to behave. And it's also your job and your responsibility to listen to me, because I'm here to help you. I think this kind of we should not take for granted that companies have these kind of programs. I'm going to be honest with you. I have not asked directly these questions to my clients. I know they do because they ask me to train their executives, especially when they arrive in Mexico or when there's a different security threat in a certain part of the world. We do that, but I have never asked directly that question to them. Why don't we have an executive protection tabletop? Why don't we have a simulation with your? They do it with the, with the driving, with the driving programs, you know, the driving courses. They do that. They do that with the executive, well, sorry, with the crisis management, with the incident management. They do that with the BCP. Why don't we include it? Why don't we do it? I think we are for 4 hours or 8 hours or 12 hours. I think we have a lot to gain. A lot to gain from that. And I think they're going to be happy. I can tell you that they're going to be happy because they're going to see the importance of their knowledge, the importance of the way they behave to save lives.
I think as long as they see you as business continuity or they see you as a business enabler, then I think they can buy into it. As long as you say, spend this time to save that time, which I think, once you speak their language, it'll be obvious. Would the executive know how to get out in the event of a fire? I think they'd probably find that quite relevant. So why not something like this? I guess let's then move it to a kind of a conclusion, an output, an outcome for our international audience.
Yes.
What should they do if they think, right, I'm ready, I want to provide training, maybe it could be at no cost, maybe it could be at cost, to make a profit, it could be a business, but however they do it, how do they now start? Start the conversation, handle objectives, and what kind of things should be in there? Maybe that's a good next steps question.
Well, I think it could be divided into a theoretical course and then a practical one, which is like role playing, which is like going to the driving course, like having the possibility to see things the way they happen. I'm not saying just be shadow your shadow an EP agent. No, I don't think that is the case, but it should be simple. It should be simple. We have to make things simple. Keep it simple is the best, because when you just throw them a bunch of theories and different things and I want to avoid this situation of let's break paradigms. Everybody use it, and let's say let's avoid. I just want to make you more resilient, because I think the overuse of those phrases is what they tell you. Then here we go again. The same cliches, the paradigm, this and that. Let's keep it simple, guys. Let's keep it simple, people. Let's keep it simple. And as I said, it's a combination of theory and practice. Whatever can be practical. Whatever can be practical, but it should be designed. Could be in cooperation with your vendor, if you have a security vendor helping you for risk management or risk assessments or security protection, or you have your own team. And why don't you discuss it and just prepare it? And just prepare it. And there are lots of sources, lots of books that can be used for this. I mean, you have books from different people, you know, Grossman, Gavin De Becker, you have now other, you know, Ivan Ivanovich, and there are thousands of books that you can have as literature to prepare this, or just based on your experience in your company. If they have an incident management program, they have to document every single incident. Why don't we learn from that? This happened and this happened and that happened. It's just that sometimes they just want to be very secretive. Nothing happened. Just put everything under the rug, under the carpet. Nothing happened. Oh, we have to keep it secret. You can just say Mr. B or Mrs. C or Mrs. Y, and that's it. This happened in this company and many years ago. We have to avoid these and learn from your mistakes and learn from your success stories. Why not? Let's learn from that. Best practices. What are the best? There are plenty of forums on in of security associations. in the UK, in Spain, in Europe, in here and there. I mean, there's a lot. There's always somebody that can give you a good insight on this. And I don't think that is it's a difficult because there's there, is that difficult because they already do it, but fragmented. Avoiding just they just avoid the name. Is this an executive protection awareness just for you to know, or security protection for executive protection for principals? Let's call it like that, as you say, for principals. This is a very soft and very soft course just for you to know when you travel what your EP agents are going to be doing for you, just for you to not to be another obstacle for them. Just help them. You're not supposed to take the responsibility of handling your own security, but for you, just for you to know what they're going to do for you. You know, I just remember I was in Venezuela at the time, at some point, and I was provided with executive protection. I just had the misfortune the misfortune of visiting Venezuela when the president of Iran was also visiting Venezuela. One president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad or something. That was like it was like 15 years ago, and just he decided to stay in the hotel for a couple for 2 days more. Guess what? I was going to stay in that hotel, but because he decided to stay for 2 days more, when I arrived to the hotel, my booking was canceled. And the only thing that the hotel could do for me is to give me a phone number, a phone, and you call whatever hotel. There's a list of hotels. You call and you just try to get a different hotel. But then my executive protection team was helping me, but I didn't know exactly what to do. What do I do? Is that a whatever? Are these hotels vetted? There are certain like 5-star hotels that were located in a certain area of the city that my company did not allow me to stay there because of the area of the city where those hotels were located. So there are a lot of things that we need to understand there. And then I didn't know that at certain point the executive protection team said like, well, now we have to leave because otherwise you have to pay overtime. What? What do I do now? You have to take me to a different hotel. Let's pay for the overtime, and we have to avoid that with the provider because of a very unique situation. What do we do?
Yeah,
But
that.
the way I would structure that is start the conversation with the corporate security director, and let's try to create something. And if we want to aim high, let's try to see if we can talk to the CSO and modify the corporate security policy just to understand more this aspect of the security of executives, and also to understand even more the security maps that we use, because sometimes they say red, but it depends on the city that you're going to visit. Maybe the country is going to be red, which requires armed security, but sometimes armed security is going to be a vulnerability for you. It's not recommended, and there are certain points, you
And
know.
I hadn't considered one extra training point you just mentioned, which was the training point of do this and it will cost you more money because our services will be extra. Or, that is one extra piece of training, which I hadn't considered. But I think this is good. This is important for the community. Obviously the Circuit Magazine podcast strives to say, shine a spotlight on a theme. Obviously, our last theme that we discussed back January 2023 was operating in Mexico. So this is a nice departure from that. What we do like to sort of end on is sort of say, okay, where will we see you next? What's next for you? I know you've got some events coming up, but what would you like the community to know? How can they say hello?
To me, well, I'm going to be. Oh, they can reach me LinkedIn, Hector Robles. They can reach me there. Or in my using the social networks of the company where I work, but on a personal level, LinkedIn, they can find me there. And I'm going to be, going to ASUS. I'm going to be at the Indianapolis Summit. I think it's an executive protection conference from the Board of Executive Protection.